The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's AT&T Byron Nelson. And joining me to break it all down, it's Kyle Porter. KP, what up?
Well, I'm ready to talk some JJ Spahn. Are you ready?
I am. 63-9 under par on Thursday for old JJ atop the leaderboard. What more could you ask from the guy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything else that we need to discuss. So we can break down his round. And, you know, he's missed 7 of his last 10 cuts, I saw. So big day from him. He could be the favorite now.
He is not. I've called William Hill. He is not the favorite. A bogey-free 69 because golf is weird. Let's just zoom out for 1 second here, KP. We knew TPC Craig Ranch was going to play easy. I think you looked at all the flyovers. You're like, there's not much defense out here. We got rain earlier in the week, and as the PGA Tour loves to do, they let players pick up their ball, play preferred lies on Thursday.
And how do you feel about that?
I don't generally care, but I would prefer the best players in the world do not constantly get to pick their ball up out of the fairway.
Yeah, it's a little like it's weird because you hear on the broadcast, oh, you know, of course, drain great, it's in great shape, and then it's like, and they're playing preferred lies, and you're like, well,
it might have been warranted this week. Like, I don't know, I'm not out there. If I was walking in the fairway and it was a little squishy or whatever, like, but they do it all the time. Like, any chance they get, it's preferred lies. I called this on Monday. I was like, I bet you when it rains on Tuesday, 2 days later, they're going to be playing ball in hand. So it's, you know, it is what it is, as they say, but I think they do it too often in general.
It's probably a good thing. I can't believe we haven't talked about speed yet. it's probably a good thing for kind of the world that you're in, right? Of like DFS, it takes some of the
blood ball.
Yeah, there you go. It takes some of the that was great, producer Jacob. It takes some of the randomness and just the variable. You know, you want as few variables as possible if you're wagering on it or whatever. So it from that perspective, it's probably a good thing.
It is. And playing out of the fairway becomes incredibly valuable because you get to clean the ball. You get to set it up. You know, 1 foot off the fairway and 1 foot into the fairway are incredibly different, which is another thing I don't like. You know what I mean? It's just I'm 6 inches over. I get to touch my ball, get to put it up. Now, you know, it's a little bit wacky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. 3.2 shots under par is what Craig Ranch played on Thursday, and tied with JJ Spahn at the top is the one, the only Jordan Spieth. There were some questions. We know that he battled COVID-19 over the past couple of weeks. We didn't know what his energy level was going to look like, but KP, let me tell you, he goes out and he puts together a bogey-free 63 and smashes us with an exclamation point on 18 by rolling in a 55-foot putt for eagle in classic Jordan Spieth fashion.
Well, and the whole thing was, I mean, I watched pretty much all of his round that was on TV, and it was just so like, I don't know if you heard him on the No Line Up podcast earlier this week. Chris Solomon did an interview with him, and Spieth was talking about how playing against and beating the best guys in the world is like a drug. And I was just screaming at my phone, like, yes, like this is what we've been saying about him, kind of for different reasons, but it was a drug on Thursday, right? It was, he's hitting this 3 wood out of the rough from 247 yards to 9 feet. He misses the eagle putt. Of course he does. He blades an iron on, he chunks a chip on 14. He blades an iron on 15 off the tee. It barely gets over the water. And then all of a sudden he makes a 55 footer for 63 to tie the lead. So it was so on brand, like the whole thing. I mean, he hit some shots today that I was like, oh my gosh, like what was that? And it's a bogey free 63, which is just pretty much exactly how he rolls.
He's hitting his driver statistically. Say what you want about the eye test. He's hitting his driver statistically as good as he has since that magical 2017 run where he goes, you know, Open Championship and then all the rattles off a bunch of, you know, top tens after that. It's unbelievable. It's not as good as that stretch, but that part of his game combined with the putting magic, combined with the fact that he's basically the best approach player on tour this season. I mean, sky's the limit. It's kind of crazy at this point.
Well, I was thinking about this today. You know, remember the back nine at Phoenix on Sunday, the fourth round, where he's got driver in hand and you're like, I'm not sure which way this is going. Yes. And he basically didn't know
either. Yeah.
And you compare that to what I watched at Augusta, which again, we don't have all the data on that, but he just smashed driver all over the place there. And then he hit a shot today, Rick, on, I can't remember which hole it was on the back nine. It might've been, it's the hole where you have to like, you've got water up the left on the back nine. I don't remember. It might've been 13. Might have been 13.
14's the short par four with water on the left. That one?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it was on the hole where he chunked the chip. Yes.
Yes, correct.
And he cuts this driver off the, like it looked like he was aiming like right edge of the water and just cuts like a driver, I don't know, a 5-yard cut right off the water. And you're like, man, that is a confident shot because you're missed. I mean, you're like, it's so easy to just bail out right. I don't think there's anything up the right side, or for him just to lay something up and play at the middle of the grip. But he's just so confident with driver right now. It's unbelievable. And we know how good he is with his irons. It's just, I don't know. Next week's going to be super fun. You know, I hope he doesn't win this week like he did going into Augusta, because he could win the career slam next week, which would be pretty awesome.
Man, and if you would have said, give me odds on what Jordan Spieth to win the career grand slam like forever would be, 6 months ago I would have told you 100-1, and now he's going to enter next week probably like 10-1 or 12-1.
Well,
to do it in one try.
Yeah, and he's been, you look at the strokes gained stuff, which whatever, you can argue whether that's the best indicator, but if you believe it's the best indicator, he's been the best player in the world for 3 months, 4 months, you know. Yeah. And that's where it's like, you know, I thought we did a good job kind of, I guess, of holding off and being like, wait a second, let's see it for eight rounds, 12 rounds. And then all of a sudden you get to, I can't remember where we got to. And it was like, okay, this is a real thing. And I was just thinking like, why did we cover golf over the last 3 years when he wasn't playing well? It was just so much more boring. Every round is just awesome right now. It's so fun.
It's unbelievable to watch him out there. He played with Scottie Scheffler on Thursday, who had himself quite the scorecard. When the dust settles, it's a 5-under 67. But KP, his last 11 holes were par free. He went
no pars.
Birdie, birdie, bogey, bogey, birdie, 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 bogey, bogey, birdie, birdie. That's a psycho card.
it's a psycho scorecard. Shout out to Shane Bacon. He also he bladed a chip on Thursday that was maybe the worst shot I've ever seen on the PGA Tour. And he immediately, I thought he was going to go full World Cup and like we were going to have to get the magic water out there to revive him. I mean, he head in hands, like he was just devastated over this bladed chip. I don't know. I don't really know what to, I mean, he finished 5-under, so I guess that's good, but I'm not, of course, 5-under is T29. So you're really, this is where strokes gain matters, right? Like this is where it's all relative to what the field is doing and not necessarily how the course is set up.
Right. He essentially gained 1.7 strokes on the field on Thursday, despite shooting a 5 under 67, because that is how low the scoring average was. So yes, this is why strokes gain was invented, because if someone says, oh, I shot a 67 on Thursday at TPC Craig Ranch is much different than a 67 on Sunday at Wingsfoot. They are in completely different atmospheres.
Totally. And I think that's why, it's why we talk about strokes gain so much, but I don't know. I feel like with somebody, when you look at a card like this, it doesn't, I don't feel super optimistic about the rest of the week, because I'd rather have, okay, would you rather have somebody shoot 5 under with a completely clean card or shoot 5 under like this?
The problem, I think I'd prefer this because it shows the upside, which you're going to, like, you're going to have to shoot, 25 under par to win this thing, 24, 25 under to win this golf tournament. So you need the upside. The problem is if he is constantly just kind of one swing away from putting a bogey on the card. I mean, there are a lot of holes where par is a bad score. If you're going to, considering trying to win this golf tournament, bogeys are beyond detrimental. So I do worry about this if he cannot tighten this up, that he's just going to, one or two mistakes, making a bogey on the wrong hole. And he's 5 under. He's got 28 guys ahead of him.
Yeah, it is crazy. I don't know. I hope it gets a little harder over the next 3 days, because I do think it will be. I don't think 25 under will win it. I think it'll be more like 20 or 21 or something like that.
That's probably fair. I mean, it's got to get harder. It can't get it. We are on pace for the lowest cut ever, which was just set at TPC Summerlin a handful of months ago. There's a real chance there's a seven under cut tomorrow. There's an outside chance it gets to 8 under. So depending on how the course plays. So yeah, it's going to be low. And then hopefully, we can get something on the weekend. Bryson DeChambeau went out early on Thursday, 69, 3 under par. Sometimes feel optimistic when Bryson does this stuff. Like, he makes a double bogey out of the middle of the fairway on number one, which is like something he should never, ever do. He had plenty of looks out there. I thought he played about as poor as he possibly could have and shot 3 under, which sometimes makes me optimistic. He played the par fives at 1 under. Like, that can't happen.
It makes you optimistic about your own game.
I guess so, but it makes me feel better because I make double from the middle of the fairway constantly.
Well, what's crazy is, like, he, and this is actually, I think, a little disconcerting for next week, because he drove it great. I mean, to pick up 2 strokes on the field here where it's wide open, you're pounding driver, right? You're just killing it. But his short game was so bad. And that's what, I've been doing a little bit of like Kiowa research, and Rory talked about this a little bit at Wells Fargo, of like, my short game's never been better. And it almost has to be at Kiowa, because you've got these raised, not to go like full into next week, but I don't know, Bryson's going to be able to win this tournament at basically even par after round one. He might even, he's going to shoot a pretty decent round tomorrow to make the cut.
Yeah, he lost strokes to the field. He's worse than field average right now.
Yeah. So next week, this is problematic for next week, because kind of like Wingfoot, you're going to miss a ton of these greens because they're raised up. They're kind of volcano-ish. And your short game's going to have to be really, really good. And that's where he really struggled on Thursday. So I think that like, his short game has got, we talked about this on Tuesday, every facet of his game, he's become one of the most well-rounded guys in the world, up there with Xander, Cantlay, some of those names. Spieth is up there right now as well. And he wasn't that on Thursday at all. So I think that's a little, it's not one round, especially with a guy like that, is never problematic, but that's something to watch, I think, going into the PGA.
I think that's fair. A couple of guys that struggled a bit on Thursday. Will Zalatoris, he rounded out that group of Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth. He goes out in 1 under 35, comes in 1 under 35, and kind of salvages what what he could of his day by making eagle on 18 because he was even par heading into that hole. There are times, and there were times here on Thursday where he just hits some shots that you're like, oh my God, like this is not fair. This kid's not human. But the scorecard didn't necessarily reflect all of that on Thursday.
Yeah, I was texting you and producer Jacob. His ball fight sometimes is just, and you wonder how he does it because he's so thin and just gangly, I guess. I don't know what the right word is, but he's so like skinny, and he almost gets like underneath the ball, like it looks like with his swing, and he just sends it into orbit. I don't know. I felt a little bit of this coming, of this like kind of poke, because did he play RBC Heritage and miss the cut? He played somewhere post Masters.
He just missed the cut last week. So he missed the cut at Quail Hollow last week.
Okay. I felt a little bit of this like kind of post Masters letdown. I think that's normal, man. I think that you go out and have the emotional type of week that he had at Augusta, right? And it's just I don't necessarily know why, but sometimes when you're young like that, it's just really, really hard to recover from and to kind of just get your feet back on the ground, honestly. So I don't know. I think I have zero concerns about Will Zalatoris over the next 10 years, but I do think he's in the middle of a little bit of like just trying to like find, okay, where do I fit in here? What's going on? What am I doing? And you know, that might sound weird to say about a top 30 player in the world, but I think that's that post-Masters thing that you have to kind of figure out and navigate.
The other guy who I want to talk about before we look at the odds is Brooks Koepka. He fired a 1-under 71 on Thursday, and it's not that expectations were high for Brooks this week. I think we didn't know what to expect. First time playing since the Masters, we know that he gutted it out to even play the Masters. He still can't really bend down what I would say is normally. And the big thing for Brooks is that he lost 3 strokes on the putting greens. He was the 4th worst putter as we record this on Thursday, and he's back to doing that. You know, he kind of lines it up a little bit out towards the toe instead of lining it up like in the middle of his putter face. He's back to doing that again, which I guess works for him, but did not work on Thursday.
No, it did not. I mean, he still can't bend over to read the putt.
He can't bend over to, he has to do a full hinge to like place his ball down where his ball marker is.
He needs a putter where you can like pull it out of the cup with it.
My dad's got probably 10 extras. I'll send him one.
I remember the guys at the Shotgun Start, Andy Johnson and Brendan Porat, talking about how Lee Westwood won like the one of the events in, I think it was in Dubai, and pulled the ball out of the cup with one of those putters.
We should be disqualified for that.
But Koepka needs one. I don't know. I don't. With him, it's just like, what are we doing? You know, and who knows? Maybe he goes out and contends next week at Kiowa, but it just is, it's not there. It's just not. What do you think about it?
I don't know. I think he's just trying to balance. I have to get reps in before the events that are really, really important to me. So assuming next week PGA Championship, but getting those reps in might not be great for the bot. Like, you know what I mean? It's like this, it's this, it's not a chicken or an egg situation, but it's this circular argument of like, what am I doing here? And I think it's just, unless you're healthy, it's going to be very difficult to contend at any golf tournament, let alone a major championship, especially a grueling major championship. We're going to get the longest major championship course in the history of golf next week at Kiowa. I just have a lot of concerns.
Well, I think that, you know how he always does the thing of like, I don't need golf, whatever. You know, whatever, man. It's like, I think he's kind of probably bored. And if it's not going to do, if playing is not going to hurt him, he just wants to play the majors, right? And I think you're right. I don't think he's playing the Byron Nelson because he's trying to win the Byron Nelson. I think he is playing the Byron Nelson to get ready for the PGA. And I think he's playing the PGA because it's like, what else am I going to do? Just sit on the boat? You know, I think
I've told everyone that these are the only 4 that matter. So I guess I have to play it.
Yeah. It's a good point. But yeah, I don't, he's going to have to shoot. What's he going to have to shoot on? Like 64?
I mean, if best case scenario, he shoots No, best case scenario, he shoots a 67 and we get a 6 undercut. That would be his best case scenario. I think it's more likely it's 7. So we'd have to shoot a 66. And then if he gets really unlucky and it goes to 8, he's going to have to shoot 7 under 65, which is to make the cut.
Again, it's a strokes game thing, right? Like if you look at the numbers, you're like, oh, I shot a 1 under 71. Well, he lost, what, 3 strokes to the field?
Yeah.
4 strokes?
2.3.
Two and a half? Okay. Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Well, here's the bigger story. We have to figure out this odds board from William Hill. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me. And I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple. And that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
And we're back. William Hill, I believe, has thrown up their hands, KP, and I don't blame them, because there are, as we speak, 50 guys at 5 under or better with the lead at 9. So that would be 50 guys within 4. And there's a handful of guys out there still kind of waiting to finish. So that's by my quick napkin math. So William Hill says, I don't know what to do. Let's just throw Jordan Spieth out there at plus 225. And then there's a huge gap to Siwoo Kim at 14-1, Sam Burns at 14-1, and Scottie Scheffler at 14-1. Then they throw in a couple of other big names like John Rahm at 16, Mark Leishman at 20, Sergio at 22, sprinkle in Aaron Wise at 16. They have no idea what to do, and I can't help them.
Yeah, my big takeaway from this, Rahm was 4 under, which is not good. I mean, it's fine. It's not great. My big takeaway from this is that I would not touch Spieth at that number.
No.
Like, I just think that is... It's one thing if it's like, let's say he's leading Augusta after the first round and, you know, there's 10 guys within 3 or something. But on this course with this field and his history of not playing that great at the Byron Nelson, and I don't know. First round was great. Could he win? For sure. But is that a good number? No, it's not even close to a good number.
Let's just look at it like this. It's not even close to a good number. This implies that he wins this golf tournament about a third of the time. Let's just, for round numbers, 33% of the time. Our friends over at Data Golf, they project it at 18% right now. So you are basically paying like a 15% vig on that bet.
Honestly, 18 seems a little high. I would have said more like 15. Their stuff is better than my brain, but it just with how many guys are involved, it still feels a little bit high.
Absolutely. The one that I would be interested in, if you made me bet one of these, Sam Burns at 14.
Yeah.
Sam Burns, 7 under 65. The dude is, again, we if you've been listening to the First Cut, we have talked about how good and how high the ceiling is for Burns. Now he breaks through, gets a victory, and he described KP. He's like, yeah, I won 2 weeks ago. Having the week off was like the perfect amount of time to celebrate and then kind of refocus and get back at it. And this is like the perfect course for Sam Burns. Let it fly. Lean on your irons. Lean on your wedges. And hope you make enough putts. Like this is a spot for him.
Yeah, it is. I regret not picking him for our one and done. It was, I think it came down to him and Keith Mitchell, and I went with Mitchell, who I think Mitchell shot 5 under.
Yeah, he's in it. He's still alive. I like Mitchell. I like where Mitchell's at here.
But yeah, I agree with you. I think Burns is the most competitive. What did Siwoo finish at? Is he 6 under, 7 under?
Well, he's got to be near the top because he's getting a lot of love here. He's 6 under. Yeah. So he's three back. I'm shocked to see him in the 14s with Burns. He's one shot behind Burns, same odds. And
yeah, this is a weird shot. This is a weird odds board. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's true. A lot of love for Siwoo. Certainly a lot of love for Jordan Spieth, which is expected because he's such a public guy. But I would bet Burns or like no one. Wait till tomorrow and see what happens.
Seriously. Can I bet? What kind of odds can I get on Scott Stallings? Four back.
You know the problem with Scott Stallings, and
there's a lot of problems with Scott Stallings being four back of Jordan Spieth. But tell me,
let's see what he's doing. Okay, it's much better this week. His last 2 weeks, his last two putting weeks, were two of his four best putting weeks ever. So he was in the midst of just an absolute like career heater. Now he is not putting the lights out on Thursday, which is a good sign. But I was worried about him coming into the week.
You know who I would actually like to bet here? Somebody that has kind of popped up a little bit this spring is K.H. Lee.
He's played a lot better. Yeah,
he's 7 under. He hit it great. Didn't putt at all. I think he's interesting. He's T6, but you're right. I mean, this board is going to be, if we look at it on Saturday night, it's going to look so different. I mean, it's just going to be the whole weekend is going to be crazy.
It is going to be crazy. KH Lee. Yeah. And he's always kind of, I like that. That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for round one recap of this week's Byron Nelson. Obviously, this works. We'll be back after round two, three, and four. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank Kyle Porter, who you can find on Twitter at KylePorterCBS. And you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut. I'll catch you next time.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.